Hello and welcome to Ask the Coach for the 3rd of April 2020. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Money. Today I just wanted to look at a few things around how to make the best use of this enforced hibernation, at least as far as your running goes, and also take a look at what's happening with some of the major races, and also look at stride length as opposed to cadence. So when you're making a decision about whether to keep training for your race, you should take a few things into consideration. I know three of the big races on our racing calendar here in Sydney, or I suppose Greater Sydney anyway, they've moved to much later in the year. The City to Surf, which is usually run in August, is now going to be run on October the 18th. And the UTA events, which are up to 100 kilometres, will be run the weekend after that. And the Sydney Morning Herald Half Marathon's moved to November, so it's going to be pretty hot when those events are being run. The Gold Coast Marathon and the other events associated with that, it's not officially postponed, but they have said that their planning and entries are on hold. And if that goes the same way as other events, it's going to be several months after that when they're able to reschedule it and find dates that don't clash with other things that are already scheduled later in the year. So it's definitely going to be hot. For all of those events, I would say. So what should you do? Should you wait until next year, or do you keep training for the event later on in the year? Just what exactly do you do? And I think that depends a little. If this was going to be your first crack at a long event, like first crack at the UTA or a marathon, or even if it's the first of a half marathon, that distance has been a bit of a step up for you, it really might be advisable to wait till next year, even though that is quite disappointing. And the reason I say that, it's just the likelihood of it being so hot. It's pretty hard to run for 2, 3, 5 hours in really hot weather. So you could do it, but you just need to know that you're unlikely to run as fast as you would during the cooler months. I don't have any expectations about a goal time. You also might have a bit of difficulty keeping your training up, as well as you might. Most of us know by now it's hard to be the school teacher, the entertainment's chairman, the nutrition police, not to mention the gaming device police, and add on to that earning some income. It's pretty hard to do all of that. Not as easy as it might seem. And your training might not be just what it might have been if we hadn't have been going through this crisis. So if you want a stellar performance, leave the race till next year. Of course, if these longer events are something you've been doing for a few years, probably not going to be your best time, but you're going to be good for it. You know what you can do, and it'll just be really good to get out there and do it. So of course, by all means, go ahead and do that. If you do decide to do the long race towards the end of the year, what sort of training should you be doing right now? Well, I don't think you should be keeping on training long. I think the best course of action is to just draw a bit of a line in the sand on the half marathon or the marathon training cycle sometime between now and the middle of May. I don't think you should keep running those long, slow miles all the way to the end of the year without shaking your training up a little bit. So that's exactly what I want to do with you. I want to do with all of you who have been training for a longer distance, do a block of fastest training fairly soon, while still maintaining a reasonable distance in your long run. As long as you're running sort of 70 to 90 minute long runs by the time it's time to go into the training cycle for your longer race, there's going to be plenty of time to build up. There'll be probably... over 16 weeks, you've probably got enough time to build up. Obviously, I'll be looking at that on an individual basis. So I have spoken to some of you, and I'm still trying to speak to some of you too. But for the most part, like that's what we're going to be doing. I'm also keen for you to do some 3 to 5K time trials over the next few months just to keep things interesting, probably every 3 weeks or so, because you can recover fairly quickly from 3Ks and 5Ks. Or perhaps you want to even train for some shorter events, 1500s. I know Adam is looking at doing some 1500s. So that's one way of making good use of this enforced hibernation, just making sure that you're cycling your training well so that you're getting some faster training, good block of training for shorter distances, and you're working different energy systems. And that faster, more intense work, it's also a great way to gain leg strength. Which brings me to the next silver lining of no racing and all the tedious days rolling into one and looking the same. You can actually get really strong. If you get really strong and you still keep up a reasonable out of distance, you can increase your running efficiency. You're going to increase your ability to run fast. One of the things I did want to talk about today is stride length. People are always talking about cadence, you know, the number of steps you take a minute and how if you get that faster, you're going to run faster, which of course you will because you'll be working harder. And you can reduce your risk of injury and yes, you may reduce your risk of some injuries if you pick up your cadence, but you also might increase your risk of other injuries. I think the reason people talk about cadence more frequently than stride length, it's something that's really easy to measure. You need a second hand on your watch and you need to be able to count. Stride length is not as easy to measure, but speed is stride length times the number of steps. So if you increase your number of steps per minute, you're going to get faster, as long as you don't decrease your stride length at the same time, of course. Or if you increase your stride length and keep your number of steps the same, you're also going to increase your speed. In reality, what happens with most people when they speed up, their stride length increases a little bit, and as does their cadence and the number of steps they take per minute. So to increase your stride length, you shouldn't really be thinking consciously when you're running about increasing your stride length, because then you're likely to be overstriding, so reaching too far forward. You're going to be, well, not exactly taking big leaps forward, but you will be reaching too far forward, probably landing with your foot right out in front of you, most likely legs straight, probably landing on your heel, and that's when breaking happens and also can cause damage for your knee. So what you're really wanting to do is actually be getting length out of the back of the stride. Some people may tell you that your stride length is limited by the flexibility in your hip flexors, because you need to be able to extend your leg back far enough behind you to get more length out the back. And if your hip flexors won't allow you to stretch your leg back, that's going to limit your stride length. But that is true, but in reality, your hip flexibility will rarely be the limiting factor. You only need about a 10 to 12 degrees angle in the hip extension for a good step length, and most people can achieve that pretty easily, even if you're quite tight. So hip flexibility is not in reality the limiting factor, but what does influence your stride length is your flight time. So that's the amount of time that you're in the air with both feet off the ground, and the longer you're in the air with both feet off the ground, the more ground you're going to cover per stride. As long as you're moving forward when you're doing that, you don't have too much of a vertical lift. So if you're jumping up and down, obviously you're not going to be running very fast. But a long flight time is a result of power in the takeoff stage. So when you're your legs extended back behind you and you're pushing off with that back leg, and you get more power by getting stronger, and you get stronger by running more, especially including some speed workouts in your training and also some hill repeats, and by including strength workouts in your training. So now is the 100% perfect time to be getting strong, doing all your strength workouts, getting some shorter running in, and that is absolutely going to improve your running for the longer events, obviously for shorter events as well, but it's also going to improve your running for longer events when we finally get to do events again. Enjoy your weekend, though it's probably not going to be that much different to your week, I should think. And I will speak to you next week. Bye.